WATB Radio seeks to inform and engage the Bride of Christ to stand up and take your place in the army and the kingdom. We recognize our battle is not with flesh and blood, but with the principalities and the powers of the air. We are a ministry of prayer, and we highlight what God is doing through other ministries and ministers across the globe. We provide a platform for ministers and a place for the bride to come together and rally around each other, hold up each other's arms, and pray for one another. WATB Radio celebrates the various missions that God has called each one of us to in this army, so we desire to promote and enhance the bride as a whole. Go Bride! Our soon-coming king awaits. This is a WATB disclaimer. The views and opinions expressed in this show do not necessarily reflect the views of We Are the Bride Ministries, We Are the Bride Radio, or We Are the Bride Television. Thank you.
Evangelist Marvin Swanson, join me every Monday on WATBRadio.com, 7 p.m. Central Time. The Spirit of God is calling the Bride of Christ to rise up, take her place as kings and priests in the earth, declaring the salvation of the Lord, rebuilding the spiritual walls that have been laid waste by secular humanism, political correctness, the vain philosophies of men and dead religions. Every Monday, WATB.com, 7 p.m. Central Time, America, arise and build.
Welcome back, my friends. We're in the Word of God, and we're talking about the rebuilding of a nation. And when we're talking about the rebuilding of a nation, we're talking about ourselves, because nations are made up of individuals. Praise God. This is exciting. And the things that are happening in the United States, really unprecedented things with Donald Trump becoming elected as the President of the United States. And I believe he has that Cyrus anointing, which we've been talking about for the past several weeks. And we're going to continue to talk about that and this rebuilding, this restructuring on that biblical foundation that was laid by the founding fathers of America, no different than the foundation that was laid in the nation of Israel. And we see all these parallels through the Bible between Israel, between the United States of America, between Cyrus, who God calls my anointed, and now Donald Trump, who I believe is a modern-day Cyrus anointed by the Holy Spirit for exactly the same purpose, and that's to restore a nation in its place of covenant relationship with the living God. This is so exciting. And here I am. I'm not an American citizen. I'm a Canadian by birth, but I live in the Columbia, South America, where I do missionary work, radio evangelism here as well. And I'm thank God I have the opportunity to speak into the United States, because God has placed us on my heart going back now more than a year and a half, almost 2 years ago now, the beginning of 2016, about the presidential election, about Donald Trump, the Cyrus anointing and all of that. And God put this incredible love and desire in my heart to pray into what's happening there in America. And so that's why I'm here. That's why I'm on WATB Radio, is because of that love that God's given me for America and that desire. And he's been speaking into my life and speaking into my heart these things that I'm sharing with you from the book of Ezra. And eventually we're going to get into the book of Nehemiah. We've been talking about Cyrus and Ezra and Nehemiah and Joshua the high priest and Zerubbabel, and these are all contemporaries that God used for the restoration of the nation after its captivity in Babylon. And the reason that they were in captivity in Babylon was because of their great backsliding from God and being stiff-necked and hard-hearted and turning away and not wanting to hear the prophets of God, not wanting to hear the voice of God. They wanted to do their own thing. And we see the same parallel with what's happened in North America over the past number of decades and also in Western Europe. But our focus is on America. That's where our focus is. And I believe God wants to use America as a, so to speak, a nucleus. The great awakening that's begun in America, Christians are waking up, and also other people are waking up as well that are non-Christians. They're waking up to the evil that was happening in the land, and that's why they turn from the traditional political garbage and hoopla and speaking out of both sides of your mouth at the same time, and they turn to a man by the name of Donald Trump, who's not a politician but has a heart for his country. He loves his country, and he resonated and he connected with middle America, the working class all across the nation, and won by a landslide. Praise God. And of course, CNN and ABC and NBC and all the major newsstream media, they cursed him right from out of the gate, from the get-go. And even his own party, the Republicans, they tried to defame him, destroy him, and dismantle him, and destroy his reputation. They did everything they could think of, but it didn't work. The more that they opposed him, the higher he rose in the estimation of the middle Americans. And praise God, he rose to power. And then, of course, the Democrats have been trying to destroy him ever since. Right up to this very moment, they've been trying to destroy him through the major mainstream news media and all these different things that are happening in Washington. Those that are opposing him, even in his own party, but it doesn't work. Because God has anointed him, and that's why I started this whole series with speaking about the anointing and understanding the anointing, the baptism in the Holy Spirit, and the place and the person of the Holy Spirit in our lives in this rebuilding process, because this is not a war against flesh and blood. This is a spiritual battle against demonic powers and authorities, rulers of darkness in high places, that the first Adam and Eve gave that authority to when they disobeyed God and they obeyed the lying, dirty devil in the Garden of Eden, and he usurped that authority, that managerial, that stewardship role that God had given to the first man, Adam and Eve, and they gave it away to the devil, and he's been causing chaos and perversion and corruption and death and destruction and misery in the world ever since. That's really what we're fighting against. And it's only through the blood of Jesus, being born again, filled with the Holy Spirit, and having understanding from God, from the Word of God, and from the Spirit of God, that we can combat these evil forces and win. It's only by that, not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6, and that's also part of this whole reconstruction, this rebuilding of the temple and the rebuilding of the nation. It's all part and parcel. And slowly but surely, we're putting this all together week after week. And so here we see in Ezra chapter 1 that King Cyrus, who's not even a Jew, he's an outsider, but God calls him his anointed, is involved in this whole reconstruction thing. And in fact, without Cyrus, without his help, none of this would have happened. And so this is the importance of Christians. And I'm talking about born-again Christians now. This is the importance of understanding and recognizing the role that Donald Trump is playing in the reconstruction and the, you could say, the revival, the restoration of the nation of Israel onto its biblical foundation, the rebuilding of a nation. Very, very important that we understand that, you could say, we look at the political arena as being the secular world. But in the nation of Israel, there was no such thing as the secular, the political, and, oh, this is the political, that's the secular. And then this is the spiritual, this is the worship at the temple. No, it was all interconnected and all enjoined, and it all worked together. Yeah, it was. That's how it was designed, to flow together in harmony, one complementing one another, not in opposition against one another, but complementing one another, recognizing one another's special anointing and special place in the nation of Israel. That's how we need to understand God working in our nation, that we don't oppose one another. That's not the design. The design is to complement and to work with one another for the better, the overall better, and the overall economy that is spiritual, and you can see mental and physical in every way, to cause that economy to grow and to cause it to prosper. That's the whole game plan. That's the biblical game plan. And so we see Cyrus here is involved in this whole reconstruction phase. And now we're going to go to, I'm going to stay here just a minute. I'm going to go to chapter 2 in a moment, but I want to stay in chapter 1 just for a few more minutes here. And I've already talked about this on a previous program, but it's reaffirmed here twice. This is spoken of in chapter 1. It says, "Then the heads of the fathers' houses of Judah and Benjamin, and the priests and the Levites, with all whose spirits God had moved, arose to go up and build the house of the Lord, which is in Jerusalem." I like that. All of those whose spirits God had moved. Has God been stirring your spirit to be an intercessory prayer warrior, to take action, to do something in the rebuilding? Has stirred their spirit to go up and build the house of the Lord, which is in Jerusalem? And all those who were around them encouraged them with articles of silver and gold, with goods and livestock, and with precious things besides all that was willingly offered. Do you know that when you support a ministry that's preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and particularly we're talking about this whole area of rebuilding the nation, rebuilding people spiritually and emotionally and physically and financially, when you support that ministry financially, you encourage them. That's an encouragement. And so that's what we need to do. We need to encourage one another in every way that we can. And financially is another way that we can be a great blessing. We can be a great encouragement. And I encourage you to support this ministry, watbradio.com. You can go onto the website and hit the donate button. And there's different ways that you can donate into this ministry and keep this platform. This is like, I look at this as a platform to share the gospel to the nation and to other nations as well. And so it keeps this platform afloat so that we continue to bring forth the word of God and we can be a voice to the nation and to other nations as well. It is a great encouragement, and I want to encourage you to encourage Dr. June Knight and this ministry on watbradio.com with your financial support. Maybe you can't give a lot. You're already supporting your church. Maybe you're supporting other ministries. But if you can support this with even a small donation, or, yes, a large donation, of course, but whatever you can do, or a one-time donation to keep this ministry afloat, it would be a great, great encouragement. And in the book of Ezra, we see this is exactly what was happening. So if you can help, you know, the Bible says that when we give out of a good heart, a good motivation, to see the kingdom of God expand and to go forth. That's part of fulfilling the Great Commission. And God says that when we give with a cheerful heart, that God is able to make that abound back to us, that whatever we sow and we'll reap, and he's able to make all grace abound towards us, that we, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound unto every good work. That's a kingdom covenant promise. And so I really want to encourage you, be a giver in your church. Be a giver in your community. Be a giver on other television evangelistic ministries that are reaching souls for Jesus Christ. Be a giver on this ministry, and we can work together. We can join hands for the harvest, and we can together, we can encourage one another, and we can see the nation restored into a place of righteousness, truth, and justice, and honor, and dignity. Praise God. We're going to be right back in about 2 minutes after this very important announcement.
Are you a writer? Or do you have a story to tell and maybe you need a little help with your writing? Well, go to Treehouse Publishers today. We can help you achieve your dream. Dreams come true in our house. Do you have a book just waiting in your spirit to come out and share with the world? Well, Treehouse Publishers will help you to achieve your dream. Write that book today. Sell your book in London, in Africa, and many other countries. Let your tree bear much fruit with Treehouse today. Go to www.gotreehouse.org.
Hello, Bride. This is Dr. Jean Knight with We Are the Bride Ministries. We would like to invite you to watch other shows on WATB Radio, which you can find at www.watbradio.com. We are also on Facebook and Twitter at WATB Radio. We are also on iTunes at WATB Radio. We have other shows on the radio called Bride Time Live, and that's where I interview ministers all over the world. Hear their journey of what God did to take them from nothing and make them into something. And then they preach. They have a few minutes to preach. Then we have the Clarion Call Show. This show exposes what the devil is doing in the church and in the nation. It is education to the bride of false moving in our nation so that we can know the truth. Then we have The Watchman with Pastor Jeff. The Watchman talks about eschatology and the end of times. So join us, Bride, at WATBRadio.com. We're also on Blog Talk Radio at WATB Radio. God bless you.
Hey, we're back. I also have books available on Amazon.com and Amazon.ca. The book I'd like to advertise tonight is Joining Hands for the Harvest. And it was a prophetic dream that God gave me some years ago. And it's really powerful. You know, you see, we were just talking about, you know, being financially responding financially and how that can be encouragement to different ministries that are promoting the gospel or winning souls for Christ. And that's an encouragement. That's one of the ways that we join hands for the harvest. And so if you go on Amazon.com or Amazon.ca, you can find that little booklet there. And it's called Joining Hands for the Harvest. And really, you know, that's what it takes. That's what it took to rebuild the temple in Jerusalem and to rebuild that wall around the city, to rebuild a nation. It wasn't just the work of one person, you know. Cyrus, the king of Persia, he had a role to play, just like President Donald Trump has a role to play. But we all have a role to play. And part of that, of course, is financially, giving financially. But that's not the only thing. There's all these different aspects. The church needs to rise up and recognize that this is a window of opportunity that God has provided for the nation to be rebuilt and for many, many souls to be saved. The Bible says that the reason God has not returned the second time is because he's not willing that any would perish, but that all would come to repentance and faith in God. That's the reason Jesus has not returned, is because he's long-suffering, he's compassionate, and he wants to have mercy on a backslidden nation. He wants to have mercy on a backslidden Western culture. He wants to have mercy on the Islamic world. He wants to have mercy on the communist world. He doesn't like those ideologies of communism and Islam and Buddhism and secular humanism and atheism and Satanism, but he loves the people. He loves the people, and he wants to reach people that have been ensnared by the devil's lies. And this is why we need to join hands, joining hands for the harvest. And so we see here King Cyrus, who is anointed by the Holy Spirit, and really that's in the United States, that's Donald Trump. And we see how he's involved in this process. And if you pay attention to what Donald Trump is doing in this, not even 1 year, it's only been about 9 months since he's been inaugurated as the president, and see what he's actually done. and to make it possible for Christians to be bold, to take off that you could say that, what would you call it, a cloud or that fog, that depression, that oppression of political correctness, and break through that barrier and to give us an opportunity to be bold witnesses for Christ, not politically correct, but biblically correct. And Donald Trump is for you, Christian. He's on your side. He's promoting biblical correctness, and he's denouncing political correctness. This is the time for the body of Jesus Christ to rise up as bold witnesses for Christ and proclaim the gospel, joining hands for the harvest. And so we see the political arena, and we see the spiritual, or you could say the kingdom of God, and we need to join hands for the harvest within the body of Christ, and also those that are within the political arena that have a heart for God and a heart for their nation, joining hands for the harvest. And so we see in chapter 1 that Cyrus brought all the articles of the house of the Lord, which Nebuchadnezzar had taken from Jerusalem and put in the temple of his gods, and Cyrus, the king of Persia, brought them out by the hand of Mithridates, the treasurer, and counted them out, and so on, and so on, and so on. So they were bringing all these things, all these articles that had been taken out of the temple, were now being restored to the temple. Wow, that's exciting. You know, how about the Ten Commandments? How about prayer? And how about Bibles that have been taken out of schools and out of public arenas? How about them being brought back and put back into those institutions? Praise God. You know that for the first 200 years plus in the United States, the Bible was one of the primary books used in the education of school children in the United States. Did you know that as an American? Are you aware of that? You need to study your history if you don't. If you forgot about it or you never knew about it, it's because secular humanists and atheists have hijacked the public school system and they took all of that out. But you need to re-study and get re-educated in your history and understand that the Bible was a primary source as an educational tool in the public school system right from the very beginning and for the next 200 plus years, right up into the last century. It was the primary book, praise God, and it needs to be restored into that place, into the educational system. Joining hands for the harvest. Now we're going to go to chapter 2 and we're going to see this continuing. Now these are the people of the province who came back from the captivity of those who had been carried away, whom Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, had carried away to Babylon, and who returned to Jerusalem and Judah, everyone to his own city. I love that phrase, everyone who returned to Jerusalem. God is calling for the people of America to return to him. Escape the shackles of political correctness and secular humanism and atheism and socialism and come back to the Bible. Come back to God. Come back to Jesus Christ. Come back to the gospel of Christ, who Paul says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation unto all those who believe, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek or to the Gentile, and to come back to God and then come back to everyone his own city and be a bold witness for Christ right there in your own city, in your own community, maybe in your own church. You might be a part of a backslidden, progressive, liberal church that gave up on the gospel of Jesus Christ a long time ago, and you adopted the political correct doctrine and throughout the biblically correct doctrine. You might be in one of those churches. The largest Protestant denomination in Canada is a progressive liberal church. I should read you some things from there. You're not going to believe this. Yes, let me take one moment and let me read something. And you might be part of a church like that in the United States as well. I'm just going to give you a brief history of the apostate United Church of Canada. In 1992, Tim Stevenson was the first openly gay minister ordained by the United Church of Canada. in August of 1992. This continued on. And then in 1997, the Reverend Bill Phipps was elected moderator. That would be like the Pope of the United Church of Canada. And there was controversy that descended on the church later that same year when Phipps stated in an interview that I don't believe Jesus was God, and that he did not believe that Jesus physically rose from the dead. So here's a man that did not believe that God was incarnate in the flesh in the person of Jesus Christ, and he didn't believe in the resurrection. In other words, you might as well throw the entire gospel right out the window, because that's the heart of the gospel. And here he is, the leader of the largest Protestant denomination in Canada, and he didn't believe in the core of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Then in 2005, the church urged the Canadian Parliament to vote in favor of same-sex marriage legislation. After the legislation had been passed, the church urged the government not to reopen the issue, and I fought against that tooth and nail. I was a pastor. I had a church in Canada, and we fought against this publicly. We were on national television across the country and fighting against this. I had leaders from across the country come to my church. I had a big tent meeting, and we had people from come all across the country, and we posed this. And that's when I wrote a letter to the Prime Minister of Canada at that time, and I said, you have mastered the art of speaking out of both sides of your mouth at exactly the same time, and that's what a politician does. That's why Donald Trump is not a politician. He says what he means what he says, and he does what he says. He's a man of his word. He doesn't speak out of both sides of his mouth at exactly the same time. And so they were the main catalyst of pushing through gay marriage, this so-called backslidden, well, I call it apostate backslidden Christian church, the United Church of Canada. But that's not all. It didn't stop there. In 2006, they had a program called the Emerging Spirit. It was a promotional campaign aimed at drawing 30 to 40-year-olds into a conversation about faith. And part of that campaign, they had magazine advertisements featuring, among other images, a bobblehead Jesus, a marriage cake with two grooms holding hands, Jesus sitting on Santa's chair in a mall, and a can of whipped cream with the caption, how much fun can sex be before it is sin? Wow, wow. This is the progressive, liberal, United Church of Canada. And then in 2012, here's what they did. They elected Gary Patterson as the first openly gay moderator. So now we don't have a pastor, a minister in the church, but now we have the leader, or you could say the Pope, of the United Church of Canada, and what is he? He's a homosexual. And then in that same year, they boycott products from Israel that were made in the settlements, and they had a campaign encouraging members of the United Church to avoid any and all products produced in the settlements. But that's not all. In 2016, another debate emerged regarding whether or not an atheist minister can continue to serve within a congregational context. Leading progressives, that's like progressive liberals, that's like Obama's, the Hillary Clintons, the Prime Minister of Canada, people like that, they support the inclusion of non-theists. Why wouldn't they? They want to destroy the church. Why would they not want to do that? While more conservative leaders are opposed. Currently, a review is underway for one particular non-theist pastor. Can you imagine a Christian church, or it goes by the name Christian, having a pastor in the church who's an atheist? An atheist. Never mind somebody that doesn't believe that Jesus is not God and doesn't believe in the resurrection, but this guy is a total atheist. He doesn't believe in God, period, and he's a pastor, he's a minister in this black, backslidden, apostate, devil, demon-possessed church, the largest Protestant denomination in Canada. My Lord, yeah. And what, we need revival. Yeah, we need revival. We need to repent. The nation needs to repent. And I know in the United States there's churches that have fallen into the same snare. They're part of the World Council of Churches, exactly like the United Church of Canada. And they are apostate. They are preaching a false gospel. They are not preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. They are not preaching born again. They're not preaching about the blood of Jesus. They're not preaching about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I want to tell you another little story right now, and maybe you've also experienced this in your community. But while I was pastoring that church in Canada, now many years ago, more than 15 years ago, the United Church in my community, they were inviting Buddhist monks into their church to teach alternative religion in the United Church. I wrote them a letter. I said, do you honestly believe that this is what Jesus would do? I said, would you not reconsider having Buddhist monks and instead invite a revivalist preacher, somebody that believes in the born-again experience, washed in the blood of Jesus, names written in the Lamb's Book of Life, baptized in the Holy Spirit, signs and wonders following? Wouldn't it be better to invite somebody like that into your church? No response. No response. No. They're dead. They're twice dead, and to be plucked up and cast into the fire. That's the end result of that backslidden apostate church. This is the condition. This is why we need to join hands for the harvest. This is why we need to join hands with Donald Trump, that Cyrus anointing. The church and the political arena joining together, not only to make America great again, but to make America godly again, to repent of that backsliding, to repent of that idolatry, to repent of that apostasy and turning away from God, that rebellion, that spirit of Antichrist, and get back on track with God. That's what we need to do. And we see here in chapter 2, and we're not going to be able to get much further than this today. In verse 2, it talks about all those that returned to Jerusalem and Judah and everyone to his own city. Those who came with Zerubbabel were Joshua, that's the high priest, and Nehemiah, the wall builder. Zerubbabel is the one that actually did the physical work in building, rebuilding the temple. So we have Zerubbabel, we have Joshua, we have Nehemiah, and we have all the rest, a whole list of them that fills up the whole chapter, and you can read it for yourself. And now let's update this, and let's make this personal. Let's read this book of Ezra, chapter 1 and chapter 2, and say, Lord, count me in. I want my name. When I stand before the judgment seat of God on judgment day and they open the books, I want to see my name there. I want to see my name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And then secondly, I want to see my name written in that book on the restoration and the rebuilding of America, that I was one of the ones who God had stirred in my spirit and stirred in my heart about this rebuilding, about taking part, giving financially, and doing other things, other areas of ministry and helps that God has called me to. I want to see my name printed in that book. Praise God, the rebuilding of America. I want to see my name there. Praise God, and I want to see and I want to hear the words from Jesus. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Well done. You did a great job. And I'm having some problems with my too many breakups in this. I don't like this system I'm using, and I hope it's not too bad. I hope it's going to be acceptable, but I want my name written there. I want it written there, and I hope that you do too. Jesus Christ is coming again. And on that day, it's going to be too late. The second coming of Christ, he's long-suffering. He's waiting for you to come. He's waiting for you to answer the call. Many are called, but few are chosen. Are you one of the ones that answered the call? Because if you do, on that great day, you're going to hear him say, well done. You've been born again. Confess Christ with your mouth. Jesus is Lord. Believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, and you will be saved, and then begin to serve him, to worship him, and become one of the wall builders, rebuilding that wall, that spiritual wall that's been torn down, a wall of righteousness, truth, and justice, honor, and integrity. Jesus Christ is Lord. Our time is up.